Now, the one who protects us all from prattling prognosticators and perfidious pundits.
I say, America, stay out the bushes.
Look for the union label.
That to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the government.
From my cold, dead hands.
I'm concerned that if we don't impeach this president, he will get reelected.
It's time for the Alan Nathan Show. Here he is, the longest-running nationally syndicated centrist host in the country, Alan Nathan.
Welcome aboard, everybody. Welcome aboard. I'm ever yours, Alan Nathan, the militant moderate. Thank you so much for joining us. If this is your virgin voyage, allow me to share with you our mantra. Folks, we want the Republicans out of our bedroom, the Democrats out of our wallets, and both out of our First and Second Amendment rights. We feel there exists this cavernous gap separating the two orthodoxies, and that it's a gap comprised of many degreed thinking people who can argue quite passionately in shades of gray. And to that end, each and every show we have fine guests to help best illustrate this point. Today is no exception. Also, if you wish to hook up with us on the web, it's www.alannathan.com. Don't forget that email address, alan@alannathan.com. That's A-L-A-N. Coming at you live and strong each and every Monday through Friday at this time. Don't forget the classic Alan Nathan Show, Saturdays, 6 to 7 p.m. And overnight Sunday mornings, 3 to 4, all times Eastern. We are indeed a Main Street Radio Network production. Please check us out at mainstreetradionetwork.com. Feel free to avail yourselves of our nascent but always robust Twitter and Facebook options that we have there for you. And of course, with great dispatch and alacrity, we love to thank our distributor, the Salem Radio Network. That's right, the Alan Nathan Show is entering its 28th year of national syndication, all thanks to you, reaching about 800 towns and cities across a couple of hundred radio station broadcasts each week. Again, all thanks to you. And by the way, I don't care if you're part of the authoritarian left or perpetually clueless right. Please get out of the thought control business. Also, quick shout-out not only to the stations who've been gracious enough to take me for well over 2.5 decades, but also a lot of these podcast networks picking us up, whether we're talking about Listen Notes or Amazon Music, Amazon Music UK, India, Italy, France, Apple, of course, Spotify. Thank you, Spotify. CRN Talk's been taking us for years, radio network unto themselves. They pick us up on their Channel 4. They also carry us over Roku, but without a doubt, were it not for all of you and my audience, nothing else would be possible. So thank you, thank you, thank you. Now, today we're focusing on Trump's efforts to end the Ukraine-Russian war, while, of course, legacy media portrays them as negatively as possible, even as European leaders mostly heap praise upon the president, with actually seven other heads of state nominating the guy for the Nobel Prize. So what's next on that horizon? Also, Trump's federalizing of D.C. law enforcement results in over 400 arrests in a matter of days, while Democrats in the press deride his actions as unwarranted, despite most D.C. residents welcoming the increased protection from crime. Why the cartoonish disconnect? I used to live in D.C. for a number of years while working there. I got to tell you, crime's always been a problem, sometimes far more than others, but it's always been a problem. And trust me, everybody I ever knew there and people I still know who maintain a residency there would have then and still do embrace the prospect of increased protection. I mean, that's all there is to it. And Trump is indeed resonating with people. Folks are seeing through a lot of the masturbated sophistry put forward by the left. The legacy media might, in large part, still carry the water for the left, but with alternate media having proven itself quite efficacious in the 2024 election, but with alternate media making an ever growing impact on our day-to-day lives and how we see the rest of the world through the media, given that alternative media and its growing role in our lives, they're not getting away with it as they used to. They really aren't. The left are just, and they don't know what to do about it. I mean, they can't even twist the polls as they once did. Have a listen to this little report from Fox News' Hannity with Sean Hannity. Have a listen to this. Clip one, James, if you please.
The American people, they're not buying the latest smear campaign from the left. Look at this. In fact, Donald Trump's approval rating after Alaska polling this weekend showed he was particularly doing well with voters under 65. Look at this brand new Insider Advantage poll with Matt Towery. The president is now well above water. Here to break down this poll from Insider Advantage, pollster Matt Towery. You know, all these other pollsters, you, McLaughlin, Robert Cahaley, Rasmussen, there's like four of you that know how to poll Donald Trump and get it accurate. You got it accurate in 16, 20, and 24. I don't really pay attention to the other ones. What does this poll tell you?
Well, first of all, I had big data. They're another group that we all talk, Sean. All of these pollsters talk, and we share information and share ideas. Here's what we all see. The president has been trending up with younger voters under 65.
Now, that, of course, was Matt Towery, but he has more to add, and we'll get to that later on. But this is just emblematic of so much that's missed, because people are recognizing the left. And I say this, folks, as somebody who's very liberal. I'm socially liberal. Yeah, I'll agree with the conservatives in that I'm for smaller government, lower taxes, originalist judges. I am an originalist when the Constitution, where the Constitution is concerned, because without that, you don't have points of finality attached to standards. And if you don't have points of finality attached to standards, they cease to be them. I can't stand the living document theory, because by that measure, the Constitution becomes too malleable. The government is not as restrained. If we go with the living document theory, all of a sudden, our Bill of Rights have protections that are less guaranteed simply because of the age of its text. I mean, I'm sorry, but I think most Americans believe that our individual rights should be, forever, okay? All right, they should be guaranteed. They shouldn't be time limited. They should never be time limited. And I think most folks are getting that. But beyond that, I think it really comes into sharper focus when we take a glance at what's been developing around the world as it relates to the perception of Trump's progress. Now, some of the outlets, the media outlets overseas, seem to be a skosh more accurate. But not here. Not here. So, yes, we're concentrating on Trump's overall performance when looking at his efforts to, let's say, bring an end to the war between Ukraine and Russia. But we're also examining how the majority of European leaders are openly pleased with the developments, even as Democrats and legacy media sort of trip over themselves, portraying him as, again, negatively as possible. But you got to wonder, why does the collectivist left continuously claim the opposite of what folks provably see and hear with their own eyes and ears? Why is that? Why is that? It's as if Democrats and the politicized legacy media are publicly pointing to a picture of a circle, but insisting that we're actually viewing a square, and then getting hysterical when they're corrected about the obvious. I mean, I realize that legacy media carries buckets of water for these Neanderthals, but what happens when those buckets become bathtubs? What happens? And by the way, Sean happens to have a point when it comes to these polls. Insider Advantage, Rasmussen, Trafalgar, even, if you will. These folks had it all right in 2024, pretty much right on the nose. Whereas the vast majority, or the greater preponderance of public polling, would give as much of an advantage to Kamala Harris as possible. But here's the thing that is the real wake-up call. Not once during the campaign did Kamala Harris's polling, inside polling, ever give her the lead. Now, when pollsters have to report the results to the campaigns that hire them, they can't inflate them as they would prefer. They got to give them the real deal, or they're going to be taken to court. So they've got to give their bosses the real dope on the numbers. And we found out from the Harris campaign, I'm surprised I ever let this information out, but everybody now knows it. Or if you don't hear, I'm telling you now. Not once during the 2024 election did the Harris campaign ever see its polling giving her the edge. She was never ahead. Not once. Even when she was first announced and everybody was all excited for her. No. Never, ever once during the campaign was she ever ahead of Trump. But the vast majority of public polling either show them unrealistically tight or with her a little ahead. Except for Trafalgar, Rasmussen, insider advantage, especially insider advantage. Why is that? Why? I would like to know. And of course, linked to all of this, we have seven leaders, and by the way, now 70,000 Cambodian Buddhist monks. They're all recommending the guy for the Nobel Peace Prize. And of course, the driver of these recommendations are Trump's more recently completed peace resolutions between places like Azerbaijan and Armenia, as well as Congo and Rwanda, and of course, Cambodia and Thailand. See, here's what I'm wondering, though. They gave Obama the Nobel Prize for absolutely no accomplishments. Trump brings about these peace deals, and I can't help but to wonder if he has a shot of getting the prize. More on this upon a return. You're listening to The Alan Nathan Show right here on the Main Street Radio Network. Stick with us.
Everyone's using it, but not everyone is talking about it, and that's AI in the workplace. Kelsey Warren, founder of the Seamless Coach LLC, shares why many employees say they're keeping this, along with their feelings about other technologies, to themselves, and what business and IT leaders can learn.
According to new research from Cox Business, 60% of Gen Z and millennials feel positive about the growing role of AI at work and use AI tools for everything from summarizing meetings to creative brainstorming. But about half of both groups are nervous to admit how much the role of AI technology plays in their productivity. Fear of job loss and uncertainty about companies' AI policies factor into employees' hesitancy to speak up. The survey also revealed that despite being confident in their ability to adopt new technology, nearly 70% feel overwhelmed by the number of tools they're expected to use at work.
For more information and to see the full survey, visit coxblue.com/workplace-tech-survey.
The spirit of Fred Rogers lives on when two hit spinoffs of Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood come together for the first time. The Emmy-winning puppet series Don Quixote will welcome friends from the Emmy-winning Daniel Tiger's Neighborhood in a new crossover special premiering August 11th on PBS Kids. In Daniel Tiger Visits Someplace Else, Daniel Tiger meets Don Quixote, and the new pals embark on an epic adventure full of fun and surprises. The special episode even includes a new version of the classic Fred Rogers song Look and Listen, which encourages young viewers to ask questions to get to know someone better. Don Quixote co-executive producer Kristen DiQualo.
Bringing Don Quixote and Daniel Tiger together in this special has been a really exciting way for us to build on the legacy of Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood, which inspires everything that we do. And I can't wait for families to see Daniel in the colorful, joyful world of Someplace Else with Donkey and her pals.
The Don Quixote crossover special begins streaming Monday, August 11th on PBS Kids.
What I know about courage, I learned from my adoptive mom. She said sometimes you just gotta hold on. And know we'll get through this.
Mom, we are so high up. Hold my hand.
No, you hold my hand.
Here we go.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more.
I learned patience from my adoptive dad. All he had to say was,
"Hey, you got this. Just breathe." Hey, hey, we're pretty good.
Yeah.
Might have to start a band.
I got it.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by AdoptUS Kids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
The mission of Paralyzed Veterans of America is clear. Accessibility. Veterans who have served and sacrificed the best of themselves deserve access to the best our country has to offer. Access to meaningful employment. Access to the veterans' benefits they've earned. Accessible homes and vehicles. And access to every part of their communities. With PVA staff working inside VA hospitals, no other veterans organization has provided more real-time, ongoing support for paralyzed veterans and their families. PVA is proud to serve veterans across all branches, all generations, and all conflicts. Our nation's heroes fought for your independence. Join PVA in fighting for theirs at PVA.org.
Think younger people are listening to Stephen A. Smith or the legacy media? They're listening to people like Stephen A. Smith, and that's why the president is trending up. The other legacy media, these old regime media, they're only getting major, primarily older viewers who get their information from there. And that's where they hear the negative stuff. I am shocked at this. If you think about the fact that Donald Trump managed to avert a nuclear disastrous situation when it came to Iran. He's now been to Alaska and met with Putin. He's now been able to get these other leaders to come back here to the United States within a matter of days thereafter. That first happened in 1814 with the Congress of Vienna, and they still talk about that when you study international relations. This is no small feat, and the American people, the average American, realizes this, and it shows in the polling. You've just got this sliver of people who they listen to, and that tends to be, unfortunately, older folks like me who are still clinging to the old media, which is, by the way, dying.
It is dying. It's dying a well-deserved death. And the paradox is a lot of the very younger folks are starting to tell Grandma and Grandpa, hey, you need to look at some other things. Because, strangely enough, the world in which you were brought up had principles that Trump seems to be more aligned with than what you're told is the right way to go on legacy media. So it is turning. Trump made inroads with all demographics except, I think, a component of whites. I mean, he made inroads with all demographics of color, that's for sure. He made inroads with the youth, especially the Gen Z types. And I just think it goes without saying that the trend is going to continue. We were listening to Matt Towery on Fox News' Hannity with Sean Hannity talking about at some length why it is that the numbers are still going in Trump's direction. Again, you still look at these other polls where he's a little underwater. But once again, those polls that were most accurate in 2024, Insider Advantage, Trafalgar, Rasmussen, what have you, they're showing better numbers for Trump than the rest of the polling community that empirically and verifiably had it wrong in 2024. Anyway, without further ado, we have assisting in the opining and analyzing old friend of the show, Stacey Zinn, retired DEA agent, private security expert, also Republican candidate for Montana's 2nd Congressional District. Stacey, good to have you back. How are you today?
I'm doing great. Thank you for having me.
No, a pleasure. Pleasure indeed. It looks as if a lot of things are going in Trump's direction, especially when we look at immigration. It seems to be undeniable that he has made phenomenal inroads when it comes to securing the border. We had each and every month thousands upon thousands of people crossing over illegally. Now it's a trickle. Also, we're getting rid of so many more people than was ever the case in the past, people with deportation orders. They can cry, what about due process? Well, deportation orders actually equal due process for illegal immigrants. I mean, you don't have to have a separate trial once somebody is confirmed as a legal immigrant. They're just that. They're an illegal immigrant, and they immediately are subjected to certain laws, such as Title 8, where the president has plenipotentiary control over getting rid of the person. All that notwithstanding, do you see more and more folks coming on board? I mean, my understanding is the U.S. Court of Appeals for D.C. just overruled Judge Boasberg, a district judge, who had held or wanted to hold Trump administration officials in contempt for deportation flights to El Salvador, not to his liking, but the D.C. Circuit panel ruled in the other direction. Now, granted, this litigation isn't finished, but it does seem to be going his way whenever we get higher up the judiciary ladder. Or am I seeing too much into this?
No, I think you are. It's a combination of both. You know, you got some judges that sit on the bench and they look at the temperature of what their constituents want. But as you climb higher in the rankings of the of judges, you see that they actually uphold laws, and that's what is actually needed. But I mean, you look at just recently up in Connecticut, where they just did that operation where they arrested 65 individuals. 29 of them had been convicted or charged in the U.S. with serious crimes. So when people start seeing this and reading about it, if you're going, oh, I still want those people in at our parks in our community, shame on you. So what the Trump administration is doing is the correct thing. It's getting these criminals off the streets, out of our country, back to where they belong.
Now, do you see the numbers still going in Trump's direction as it relates to illegal immigrants? Because, as you know, legacy media has been pushing the impression that, well, yeah, folks want a stronger border and they do want to get rid of violent illegal immigrants, but not necessarily those illegal immigrants who have otherwise not committed any of the crimes. They don't like Trump's people going to places of work, places of worship, you know, places of commerce, like shops where people might go shop, might go purchasing goods and things. They're pointing to how polls are not going in Trump's favor regarding that component of people. How do you see all that unwinding in the weeks and months ahead?
Well, I see your diehards going to say no. If you're here illegally, there's proper ways to get into our country, and we have there's steps to be taken, and many of the legal immigrants that came to our country follow those steps. They're not going to have any love lost for those that came here illegally, period, if not committing crimes or what. But you have to remember, all of these people have committed a crime, and that is coming into our country illegally. So
exactly, and I think it's very important people understand. It's a misdemeanor if they come in once, but a lot of these folks who are being picked up and kicked out have come in illegally more than once, even if they've committed no other crime but illegally crossing over more than once. That second time raises the violation to a felony, does it not?
That is correct. And that's what people need to realize. Sometimes it takes up to 5 years to get your citizenship. But you have to, if I was to go to Russia, if I was going to even to Mexico, it would be a process for me to get my citizenship. So it's the same thing as the U.S., but for some reason, people here think, who cares? Open up these borders, let them come in.
Well, that's because I've always believed, and I think both parties have been guilty of this, but for different motives, I've always believed that establishment Republicans anyway always were okay with illegal immigrants because it afforded them cheap labor, whereas Democrats got cheap votes. But the Trump component of the Republican Party has rejected both. They don't like either cheap labor or cheap votes, which of course annoys establishment Republicans as well as establishment Democrats. Or am I seeing too much into this?
No, you're spot on. You do see both sides of the aisle on that, especially in the rural areas where in the agriculture world, they need that cheap labor. And so they're the ones that are talking to the politicians, hey, we need these people up here. But that's why we have certain types of work visas where they're able to obtain and to be able to do that. But you do see both
because
of the
that's
aisle.
Really what migrants are. I hate this term migrant being used as a replacement term. This is such a neologistic indulgence. Migrants are people who, by definition, come here knowing they're only going to be here for a while before they're going to go back home. And yet they're just trying to now refer to them all generically as migrants. It's as if Democrats love using labels in lieu of arguments they cannot otherwise muster. And it's ticking me off. And, oh, by the way, yes, there are plenty of illegal immigrants who have successfully been able to secure work, otherwise do not commit crimes. But you know what? The same can be said of those who came legally and decided not to cut in line. So just because somebody comes here illegally, maybe on multiple occasions, and commits no other crimes, does not mean we're still not in our rights to expect them to go away and come back appropriately. I guess you would agree, would you not, Stacey Zinn?
110% I agree. I think.
All right. Great having you back, folks. You're listening to The Alan Nathan Show. Going to return soon.
Substance use and mental health often go hand in hand. Research shows that teens who struggle with their mental health are more likely to use drugs and alcohol. That's why the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention launched the Free Mind campaign to help prevent substance use and overdose among youth ages 12 to 17. As a parent or caregiver, you play a powerful role. Staying connected with your teen can reduce their risk for drug use. Before you talk to them about drugs, talk to them about how they're really doing. And remember, empathy is key. Ask questions, listen without judgment, lead with compassion. Let them know they're not alone. Because sometimes an open and honest conversation between you and your teen can make all the difference. Learn how to start a conversation at cdc.gov/freemind/parents. That's cdc.gov freemind/parents. Sponsored by the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention.
It's a well-known fact that guys often skip the doctor when they're sick and delay important health screenings. During Men's Health Month in June, encourage the men in your life to break that bad habit and take charge of their health. Vince Dorsey, a pharmacist and director of medical communications at Esperion Therapeutics, says a great way to start is with a cholesterol test.
The best defense is a good offense. High cholesterol has no symptoms. That's why it's called the silent killer. Don't put it off. Get your cholesterol tested and know your family's health history. You may not realize it, but high cholesterol can be an inherited genetic condition, putting otherwise healthy people, even in their 20s, at risk for heart disease. If you have high LDL or bad cholesterol, it is best to address this as soon as possible. There are ways to lower these levels, reducing your risk of heart attack or stroke.
If you or someone you love has high LDL cholesterol, your doctor may recommend lifestyle changes and medication to keep it in check. Visit heart.org to learn more.
Hi, it's Practical Polly's radio show. If you're just figuring out that healthier cooking oils are better than solid fats, you may be asking, now what am I going to do with all these tubs of lard? Ever had one of those moments when your favorite skinny jeans feel too tightly tailored? Generously apply lard to your hips and thighs and those fancy pants will slide on like a dream. Or here's a family-friendly idea. How about making your yard into a lard fun park? Frost your driveway with a nice thick coating and give those kiddos a downhill thrill no matter what time of year. Having a bad hair day? Yep. A little lump of lard can tame your flyaways in a jiffy. So there's no need for that lard to go to waste or to your waste. But get your best heart-healthy trade-up with healthier oils like canola, olive, or other vegetable oils, which can actually lower your chances for heart disease. Now that's a tip worth keeping for life. Learn more at heart.org/facethefats. Canola Info is the national supporter of the American Heart Association's Face the Fats campaign.
Steven.
Who said that?
Me, down here.
What are you, a yellow booger?
I'm a banana slug, Steven.
Well, what are you doing in my room?
I'm your sense of adventure. Don't you remember me? Don't you know that we miss you?
Miss me? Who misses me?
You know, all your friends in the forest. The trees, the pond, that little fort that you made out of branches. We all miss you.
Mom took me to the forest last year.
I'm a slug, Steven. It took me a long time to get here.
Oh, I guess that makes sense.
The forest is not that far away. Have an adventure today. I'm sure your mom would take you.
You're right. I should get out. I want to have fun. Play in puddles, catch frogs, and climb trees. Hey, Mom!
Yeah, hon?
Steven! What is that in your hand?
It's my sense of adventure, Mom. It's telling me we need to get out of the house and have some fun in nature today.
Come to the forest where the more adventurous you lives. Check out discovertheforest.org for cool places nearby. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
No word in the English language is less convincing than probably.
Are you sure we should get matching tattoos on our first date?
Sure. We'll probably stay together.
Probably? It's been 23 minutes since I ate. I can probably swim.
You should wait 30 minutes.
Okay, now tell me what to do. Cannonball! Cramp! Oh, I have a cramp. I can probably hit the green from here.
Probably.
Can I get a mulligan?
Ready to go?
Hey, are you sure you're okay to drive?
Yeah, I'm pretty sober. Yeah, I'm probably okay.
Probably okay isn't okay, especially when it comes to drinking and driving. If you're drinking, call a cab, a car, or a friend. Buzzed driving is drunk driving. A message brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Welcome back, everybody. Welcome back. If yours, Alan Nathan, the militant moderate. Once again, this is The Oasis for those who have an aversion to the left, right, black, white, two-dimensional approach. Absolutely delighted you could be with us. So much going on, and as usual, so little time to delve into it as we wish. But it does appear as if the Democrats are somewhat disconnected from current events. You got Trump's efforts to end the Ukraine-Russian war, greeted by legacy media portraying these efforts as if, well, they're just simply not working in any way, shape, or form. But at the same time, you've got European leaders mostly heaping praise upon Trump. for his efforts, believing that they're incrementally showing a positive direction. Matter of fact, you got seven other heads of state nominating the guy for a Nobel Peace Prize. You got to wonder what's next in that area. But also, we have Trump's federalizing of D.C. law enforcement, resulting in over 400 arrests in a matter of days, while Democrats and the press deride his actions, of course, as unwarranted. And this is despite most D.C. residents welcoming the increased protection from crime. So why the cartoonish disconnect? Why? Why indeed? Anyway, without further ado, we have assisting in the opining and analyzing none other than Maureen Steele. Maureen Steele is co-founder of the American-Made Project, an organization that connects influential leaders and grassroots movements to drive real change. She's a seasoned paralegal writer and strategic advocate. Maureen, good to have you back. How are you today?
I'm great. How are you doing?
Doing well, doing well. I want to zero in on something I touched on just before you arrived, and it had to do with the D.C. Court of Appeals ruling against lower district judge Boasberg, who had wanted to hold the Trump administration officials in contempt for these deportation flights that went to El Salvador. He had insisted that he gave the order for them to turn around. Trump administration is saying, hey, they were already in the air, it was too late. And it's as if Boasberg really was trying to usurp the separated powers of the executive by dictating to the executive foreign policy. Mm-hmm. And the administration essentially pushed the judge back into his own lane without directly saying, no, we're going to disobey you. All that notwithstanding, it thus far appears as if the D.C. Court of Appeals has decided more in Trump's favor, although, again, this contest is not over. Maureen Steele.
Well, I mean, I've written so many articles now on Boasberg. He looks like Lurch. Let's just say it.
He really does.
I mean, he totally does. So anyway, no, to your end, it is so out of the scope of their job description. They can't interfere with the executive branch. And, you know, and the Supreme Court already ruled that they can't make these sweeping, injunctions. They simply can't do that. Moreover, in this particular case, what I find really interesting was that the original cause of action was brought by the ACLU. Like they brought the case. And I found that fascinating because there's case law that says a group of people, like say what I do, American Made Foundation, that we bring a lawsuit on behalf of a certain group of people. If that's in our charter to do that, and it is in the ACLU's charter, and that they can protect immigrant rights, Boasberg never should have heard this case, because they're not immigrants. These are foreign invaders. These are illegal aliens. They're not immigrants. So they had no right to bring the case.
I'm just looking at the clock. I should mention very quickly that while the Supreme Court jettisoned the prerogative of district judges being allowed to impose nationwide injunctions, mm-hmm. essentially usurping the separated powers of the executive, they do have the right to put out injunctions that would affect the areas of their geographical jurisdiction, but they could also, through class action lawsuits, somehow visit upon a national policy, one national restraint. They could do through, if you will, these class action lawsuits what they're no longer able to do through nationwide injunctions. That said, even though this has been provided as an alternate path, and there have been some people taking it, it does slow down the ease with which judges have thus far been able to enjoy this almost plenipotentiary control over the executive. Or am I being overly sanguine in my analysis?
No. The judicial system is wildly corrupt, and we've all watched it. Especially during Biden's administration, it's the rules for thee and not for me, a thing. And the judges are crooked. They're leaning left, and they're using their own biases. And that's simply not within their scope of employment either. A judge needs to be unbiased. They need to just interpret the law. They can't you know, impose their own will and try to undermine the executive branch. And worse, the will of the American people, because the buck stops with us. We're in charge. It's a constitutional republic, and it's the will of we the people. And they work for us. So they're not. So, you know, this is criminal. I think Pam Bondi should be going after Boasberg for what he did and what he tried to do. But we're just not seeing that. Again, it's part of the judicial system, and it seems like they're only going to go so far and no further. They're not going to see this through, and that's very disappointing. I thought when Trump got in that we were going to see some heads rolling, and it's just not happening.
Yeah, I think people have to remember that the judiciary is a co-equal branch. It's not a superior one, and while it has the final ruling on laws, it does not have the final say when it comes to separation of power in power conflicts, in which its own branch becomes one of the two litigants, such as perhaps a battle with the executive. I mean, that sort of thing is settled by House impeachment of the impressment of the president, if it so chooses, and then a Senate expulsion trial. But once that process fails to reach its required two-thirds majority to stop him, well, then the president constitutionally would win that separation of powers argument, regardless of how many might whine about it. People have to remember there is a check that the president has on the judiciary, and that's because the judiciary is never allowed to enforce its own rulings. It's reliant upon the executive to do such a thing. So if the executive finds that the collective judiciary, or whether it's a district judge or an appellate court, even the Supreme Court, if the executive says, whoa, you guys are trying to claim under the trappings of officialdom that you have the right to usurp a separated power, not yours, I have the right to stop you. And that leverage is born out of the judiciary's inability to enforce its own rulings. It is reliant upon the executive. And that's where the executive can take advantage of that lack of authority that the judiciary has and say, hey, born out of your limitation is my prerogative to say no to your ruling. Now, again, the president is not a king. Congress can stop him. The House can impeach him and send it to the Senate for a Senate expulsion trial. But once the Senate fails to reach the two-thirds majority necessary to stop that president, then he constitutionally wins that separation of argument by default. And that's not a constitutional crisis. That, ladies and gentlemen, is called a constitutional remedy. Where am I off base?
Right. No, I think you're right. That is checks and balances in the works. You know, that's how it's supposed to work. But it was amazing to me that they listened, you know, that there was that big dust up in D.C. when this happened, and that they were listening to Boasberg. And that's what I found quite remarkable watching this as well. Just because a judge says something, they all start tapping the brakes. And it's like, you don't have to listen to them. This is outside of his scope. So that's where I question who's advising.
Well, it's not only outside
their
scope. It's not only outside the scope. It's also outside the realm of legitimacy on the part of a lot of these people who want to bring forward class action lawsuits of any kind. Because there's three points of criteria of what constitutes standing, and you've got to have standing. Without standing, you're not allowed to be heard. And the points of criteria that constitute standing are based on, I think, the Supreme Court's ruling from Lujan v. Defenders, Defenders of the Wildlife, back in the early 90s. But basically, you've got three things: injury in fact, causation, and likelihood of redress. Now, injury in fact is a harm that is, let's say, actual and imminent versus merely, you know, conjectural or hypothetical. Causation is where you have to show how said harm is traceable to the controversial conduct in focus. And then finally, likelihood of redress. This is where the plaintiff must identify the remedy that a court's ruling could offer if they go their way. And too often, a lot of these class action lawsuits are simply not meeting these points of criteria. So even though it is another way for a district judge to put a nationwide stop on the president, number one, it's still more problematic than used to be the case when they could just willy-nilly throw out a nationwide injunction. But number two, they've got other rules that have to be followed before they can give the green light to these class action lawsuits. And too often, they're jumping those lights, are they not?
Oh, they are. We see it all the time. And that was my point at the beginning of the conversation. Boasberg never should have ruled on that case brought by the ACLU because they had no standing. They can defend immigrants, but not illegal aliens. And so they had no standing. So, you know, it's it's the Wild West out there as far as the judiciary goes. This has been an interesting year for certain.
It has. It has. Fortunately, though, Trump's traction does seem to elevate as we go higher up in the process. The problem is the clock that's eaten up during the interim. Some harm
Absolutely.
Can be done because of that. Maureen Steele, thanks again, folks. You're listening to The Alan Nathan Show right here on the Main Street Radio Network. Stick with us.
We have an active government relations program. They're very much involved in legislative work to not only improve the ADA, but to strengthen enforcement. The bottom line is a law with no enforcement is no law at all. But it's not just about legislative work. It's really just about public education. We want the general public, we want policymakers, we want business owners to understand that they have a role in knocking down barriers and making the world more accessible. We have an active campaign going on right now. Barriers still exist. If you go to our website, pva.org, you can find information about various types of barriers that are out there through our PSAs. We have a petition that we want to send to the United States Congress that calls for improved enforcement of the ADA. And ultimately, we just want to get everyone in the game. We want everyone to have a stake in knocking down the barriers that still exist because we believe in accessibility for all. To learn more, you can go to pva.org/barriersstillexist.
We know summers are packed with activities, and Whataburger's got you covered with big flavor and big value. For a limited time this summer, you can order more for less with our bigger, better bundles. Just order your favorite Whatameal, and you can add on a bonus meal. You can add on a $4 kids Whatameal, a $5 double meat junior Whatameal, or $6 nine-piece Whata wings. Or if you're just feeding the kids, these bundles work for kids meals too. Just order a kids meal, and you can add on another one for just $4. Really is the perfect way to make sure everyone is fed and happy this summer. We've also got Whataburger's brand new prickly pear raspberry water fresher. It's a bright, refreshing mix of zesty lemon, real raspberry, and a hint of prickly pear. If you haven't downloaded the app yet, download it now. We are full on into our summer of savings mode. We've got really special things coming up for our 75th birthday on August 8th. For more information, you can visit whataburger.com.
Dear John, I was hoping it wouldn't come to this, but you've left me no choice. I'm leaving. Uncontrolled high blood pressure is really serious, and lately you seem to really not care. I've been there for you since day one, and I know you think I'm going to keep ticking. But no, my friend, I can quit whenever I want. Why can't we get back to the good times, when we were more active and ate more healthy foods, and you checked on me every once in a while? Is that too much to ask? I don't want to leave, but unless you stop ignoring me, what else am I supposed to do? Remember, when I quit, you quit. Sincerely, your heart.
Listen to your heart and don't let it quit on you. Doing the minimum to control your high blood pressure isn't doing enough. High blood pressure can lead to a stroke, heart attack, or death. Get your blood pressure to a healthy range before it's too late. For help keeping yours at a healthy range, text PRESSURE to 97779. A message from the American Heart Association, the American Stroke Association, and the Ad Council.
You know that feeling? Like every door is closing and you just can't see a way out? Being unemployed, underemployed, or just out of school feels a lot like that. But when you find the right tools, suddenly everything just clicks. Getting on that path may be easier than you think. A good place to start? Go to findsomethingnew.org. At findsomethingnew.org, you have access to resources that help develop new skills. Skills that will position you for careers in today's growing industries. From healthcare and manufacturing to cybersecurity and alternative energy. Plus, you can take advantage of online courses, certification programs, apprenticeships, and more. So you can take yourself from unemployed and uncertain to empowered and prepared for what's next. Find your path to a new career today. Visit findsomethingnew.org. A message from the Ad Council.
I'm Ben Affleck, and I want to thank you for joining me and supporting Paralyzed Veterans of America. Our vets need you.
I'm a quadriplegic. I'm definitely at risk with my diminished lung capacity.
I have MS. I'm in a wheelchair, and I can't leave the house because I have a compromised immune system.
I'm very concerned about, would there be a bed for me? Would there be a ventilator for me? Would I be able to survive something?
It's just heavy. You know, it's a heavy moment.
This is a war. This really is.
Our veterans fought for us. Let's fight for that.
I am so grateful for the PVA. They're making sure that we have all of the food and supplies that we need right now.
Y'all gotta help each other right now. We can't get through this by ourselves.
It's with profound gratitude that you're gonna be saving our lives.
To find out how you can help, please go to helppva.org. That's helppva.org.
Welcome back, everybody. Welcome back. Every year is Alan Nathan, the militant moderate. Once again, this is the Oasis for those who have an aversion to the left-right, black-white, two-dimensional approach. Well, Trump does seem to be making progress in his peace efforts regarding the Ukraine-Russia war, just as he's had some solid accomplishments regarding some negotiated peace deals that are now fait accompli, whether you're talking about Azerbaijan and Armenia or Cambodia and Thailand. It's just interesting to see all the wins he's racking up. And what's also intriguing, as well as unsettling, is that this is an area that's like low-hanging fruit. This would be a chance for Democrats to, without harming themselves whatsoever, be seen as an adult party that can recognize positives when they happen, even if they are brought about by folks who are not on their team. But they can't. And I remember a time when that wasn't the case, when whether you were Republican or Democrat, if the other side did something that was unambiguously successful, you would recognize it, if for no other reason than to ensure that you maintain credibility for a later date when you were going to be critical. You can always be taken more seriously if you are seen seriously addressing things, regardless of whether or not they're commensurate with your political aspirations. Let's have a listen to an exchange that was taking place not long ago between Senator Ted Cruz, Republican out of the great state of Texas, and Jesse Waters Primetime, with Jesse talking about how Democrats are crazily characterizing Trump as being weak in his meeting with Putin, and also how he comported himself with the European leaders just a few days ago. Clip four, James, if you please.
When the president buzzes Vlad with the B2s, and his lead starts shaking like he's doing the Macarena, and the Democrats see that and say that Trump is weak and he's soft and he's getting bullied by Vladimir Putin. I mean, your colleagues must be like drinking something. What is going on there?
You know, Jesse, people used to say politics end at the water's edge. Unfortunately, today's Democrats, they hate Donald Trump so much that they are openly rooting for the president to fail. They're openly rooting for this war to continue forever. They don't want peace. And that is sad. We should all want peace in Ukraine. I believe we're going to see that. And I think President Trump is doing everything humanly possible to achieve that peace. And not a single Democrat is cheering him on. They're all rooting for America to fail. That's really sad.
Well, it'll be interesting if he gets the Nobel Peace Prize. What, will they clap or will they sit on their hands like a State of the Union? We'll see how it goes down.
They will sit on their hands and they will boo.
I'm afraid he's right. And this is despite a whole lot of folks coming around to Trump's side and his efforts to bring peace in the world. Even Bill Maher says, say whatever you want about the guy, but he does genuinely hate killing. He wants wars to end. Matter of fact, now you got, what, like 70,000 Cambodian Buddhist monks all recommending Trump for the Nobel Prize. And, of course, again, the driver of these recommendations are not just how he's comported himself on the world stage regarding the Ukraine and Russia, but also his more recently completed peace resolutions between, as I mentioned earlier, Azerbaijan and Armenia, as well as Congo and Rwanda, of course, Cambodia and Thailand. But here's what I'm wondering. They gave Obama the Nobel Prize for doing zilch. He was only 8 months into his first term, and they gave it to him. They announced that he was going to get it like shortly after he got elected. Okay. They gave it to him 8 months afterwards, but they announced that he's going to get it shortly after he was elected. Guy did nothing. Now, Trump brings about these peace deals, neutralizes Iran's nuclear weapons program, also pressured Israel and Hamas into a ceasefire. Does this guy get the Nobel Prize? Now, assuming they don't award Trump the prize, you got to wonder, how much more nakedly politicized can the prize get before its stature becomes unsalvageable? You know, I was reading recently a supposed conservative, George Will. He's one of those establishment types who turned into a never-Trumper because he just can't stand the fact that a lot of Republicans have had the temerity to point out that they don't like the way establishment Republicans are guarding their interests. They fold very easily when it comes to the Democrats becoming very loud in their condemnation, and the only time they ever demonstrate a willingness to fight is with their own, who are criticizing them for not fighting the Democrats strongly enough when the Democrats are legitimately in the wrong on whatever issue it is that might be in focus. But anyway, George Wills is with the Washington Post. He recently wrote this of President Trump. Let us hope that America's domestic political degradations have not rendered it incapable of embarrassment, which is a prerequisite for recuperation. Alaska, talking about a summit with Putin, was not just another drop in our overflowing bucket of mortifications. It was proof that for the next 41 months, no interlocutor can believe a word the U.S. president says. He's really got it out for this guy. Now, George Will's envy-based condemning assessment of Trump's role in the effort to resolve the Ukraine-Russia war, when you think about it, folks, it has all the credibility of a sociopath lecturing us on the need for empathy, okay? It's too nonsensical to be taken seriously. I mean, where the hell am I off? Where am I off the mark by even a diphthong? Matter of fact, here are some excerpts of how even the always anti-Trump ABC News has been describing his rather impressive performance. Here's what they wrote. European leaders have praised President Trump for his ability to convene a meeting with Ukrainian President Vladimir Zelensky and his support of European efforts regarding security guarantees for Ukraine. This praise comes amid ongoing discussions about maintaining peace and preventing further Russian aggression in the region. Another excerpt. European leaders recently expressed admiration for President Donald Trump during a significant meeting at the White House. Another excerpt from different reports of ABC. This praise reflects a strategic alignment among European leaders recognizing Trump's influence in the ongoing efforts to stabilize the situation in Ukraine. End of excerpts. But it doesn't end there. I got some European leaders giving us some very specific accolades. How about this one? A glimmer of hope has finally opened to discuss peace in Ukraine. This is Italian Prime Minister Giorgia Meloni. All right, this from UK's Prime Minister Keir Starmer. This is what he writes. President Trump's efforts have brought us closer than ever before to ending Russia's illegal war in Ukraine. His leadership in pursuit of an end to the killing should be commended. And it goes on and on and on. But, you know, Trump proving Will and his fellow never-Trumpers wrong with successes in foreign affairs has been an ongoing reality. It's just been an ongoing reality. Again, this is the guy who helped broker the end to conflicts between Azerbaijan and Armenia, Congo and Rwanda, and Cambodia and Thailand. Even Secretary General of NATO, Mark Rutte, former PM of the Netherlands, has heaped great praise upon Trump for those three deals and his efforts to end the war between Ukraine and Russia. You're slipping, George Will, but you know what? Folks have been telling you that for years. You're listening to the Alan Nathan Show right here on the Main Street Radio Network.
The opinions you hear on the Main Street Radio Network are those of the host, callers, and guests, and not necessarily those of the station, Main Street Radio Network, its management, or advertisers. The information on the Main Street Radio Network does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or securities. So please, consult a professional before investing. If you have any questions or comments about Main Street Radio Network, contact us at 703-719-0433 or at our website, mainstreetradionetwork.com.